over at the posse shack that might make a good giant cornhole? Is it okay if I ask some men to help after church and bring it over here? Okay. All right. Shelly, I just want you to give me permission to bring it over here. That's all I want. Is that something you could use?
I think so.
Okay. I have asked. I have asked. So that's one thing that men, we have to do after church. Probably about six of us. Pick that thing up and bring it over here and put it on the back so we can figure out what to do with it. And then I have another thing. You thought you were going to just come to church and eat donuts. But we need to take the seats out of the van so that we can pick up some counters for downstairs. So we're going to take the seats out the van right after church and put them downstairs. So two things. You can choose your poison or you can run away. There'll be spikes in the parking lot. Don't drive too fast. Okay? Two things we need to do. Pick up that wood and take the seats out the van and stuff. There are peaches over in Fellowship Hall given by the Sutherlands. Please take them and stuff so I don't have to eat them all or figure out what to do with them that I don't want to do. Because you know they got to be peeled.
Yeah. You should eat the peel. It's good for you.
They have to be peeled. You have to put sugar on them, maybe a little cinnamon and some nutmeg, and then you got to make a crust. If you Southern, you got to put crust on the bottom and on the top of the peach cobbler. Okay, that's what you got to do. I don't want to do none of that. So you all take those peaches and do what you do with peaches. Okay. All right, so I don't have to do that because I would do that for Jesus. I would take all those peaches, so please take some peaches. And it is harvest time, so people will bring in stuff from their gardens and stuff. So if you see it on the table, you need to take it. Okay? All right. And it's healthy. It's organic. Yeah, because it for you folks who need organic. Anybody in here got wisdom? Got wisdom. You all are so humble. Huh? Anybody in here ever been called a smart aleck? You can't say that in church. Anybody in here been called sarcastic? Some of you all, people just don't talk to you. Oh, you haven't heard what they said about you. I'd like to talk about wisdom today. Father, we thank you for your grace. There you go. We thank you for your thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for your word that causes us to be better. That cuts between the bone and marrow of our life, that does what no one else can do. We ask that your word be present, that your word flow from my lips, God, that somebody in here will be changed, made new, brought to a relationship with Jesus Christ, and be better as they leave this place today. Your word is already blessed. Open our eyes and open our ears that we might receive it. And be all that we can be as we leave this place to serve humanity, that we become salt and light wherever we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter. And the last two verses, verses 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, 13 through 14. Is there something that somebody has said in your life that has been a statement of wisdom that you have held on to? There's something that follows you around that makes life a little simple for you. Would somebody in your circle of influence call you wise? Has somebody called you wise? Now, how did you react when you had to contemplate on whether or not you were wise and whether you had wisdom? Ecclesiastics. They say the author is, look at you Bible bangers, Solomon. And I call Solomon the wise guy because God made him wise. The wisest in the Bible. We find Solomon to be the wisest in the Bible. But if you read your Bible, he wasn't so wise. And I'm going to say this, and this is a man thing. He had how many wives? What did you say?
A thousand.
Huh? All in all, if you told him to line up and say, hey, anybody here with Solomon, it'd be 1,000 women calling them honey. I don't know about you, but just me. That's not wise. I said it was going to be a man thing. Okay, all right. God, forgive me. Domino's Pizza, dine in, carry out. Forgive me for saying that and stuff. I love my wife. She might even be listening to this tape. Honey, it's everybody but you. Okay, all right. Phew. Almost messed up. I don't know if with numbers. Yeah. That would be a wise thing to have 1,000 women that you have to be accountable to or for. I don't even know how you do a calendar for that and stuff. So, but God called him wise, and this is why he called him wise. And let's figure out who is this Solomon and stuff. Well, he's David's son who inherits the rule over Israel, God's chosen people. A lot of times we forget that when we read the Old Testament and stuff, because we need to watch how God deals with them, because we want to be heirs to what's going on with Israel. And we've been engrafted into that, those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. So there's a lot to be said about the Old Testament, but then there's kind of confusion about this Ecclesiastics, because he says there's a time and a season to everything under the sun. There's actually nothing new under the sun. And God blesses the good. I mean, these things happen to the good as well as the evil. I'm thinking I don't want none of that. I would rather just be, you know, thank you, Jesus. Let me give you the list of things that I want and I want to happen to me. And let's just make everything good. Y'all know anybody like that? In fact, when we pray, most of the time, that's what we say. God, take this thing away from me, and I don't want that to happen to me, and I'm so afraid of this, and I'm so afraid of that. But Solomon, the wise guy, tells us, you know what? This is going to happen to the good and to the evil, so buckle up. Put your seatbelt on. You might need to strap into wisdom. Because when some of these things happen, and they're going to happen, promise, I can promise you, they're going to happen. You're going to need to hold to God's unchanging hand. And you're going to have wisdom to get through. Say, get through. Get through this. You got to get through this. Not get caught in it. Not let it burden you down. not let it pull you down, but to get through this. And so the wise guy, he writes these words. Let's look at Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, the 13th verse. Got it? Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. Say secret thing. Any y'all got any secrets? I'm sorry. You know, sometimes the preacher just gets too personal in church. Anybody in here knows somebody who has a secret? I got to make y'all comfortable because I got to get to that door. Anybody, y'all know anybody who has a secret? Okay, all right. The secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Translated, you're going to have to stand before your God and y'all going to have a conversation about your life, not anybody else's life. I love my youth. In Ecclesiastes, it tells us to remember our youth and our former days and stuff. I love my youth. I love when I was just young and stupid. I know y'all look at me and you can't believe he was never young. I love it when I was young and stupid. And you know, in class, if everybody act up, nobody would get in trouble. True? Yeah. Well, that was the theory. It never played out. If you act out, you're going to get in trouble. And if everybody act out, everybody get in trouble. Where's the wisdom in that? So I was young and I was stupid. I thought that, you know, if everybody got in trouble, or if I could find somebody who was worse than me, I could always point to them. But usually they were all pointing to George. No, me. And I had to give account for that. Many times in our Christian walk, we get to the point where we're so wise and we're so full of God that we don't think that even for our thoughts that we have to give account to God for who we are and the life that he's given us. Our gift to God is how we live our life, because his gift to us is our life. Every word, every deed, every thought we do, and everything that we don't do, that we should do, belongs to God. And we will stand before him and give account. Preacher, listen. That's kind of scary, because there's some things I wouldn't tell nobody. And here God has it. And we're talking to one another. Anybody in here have a mother? Because I need to ask this, because some of y'all are aliens and things like that. And 20 years from now, there'll be some kids who were grown in petri dishes and things like that. Number 7365 and stuff. So I'm just asking, if you have a mother, raise your hand. I had a mother, got here that way. Okay, I'm just checking, just checking, just checking. Do you know that mom... I don't know what kind of household you grew up in and what kind of relationship you had, but mom usually knew everything. She was omnipotent, sometime omnipresent, and omnipotent, all powerful. Grandma's here today. She knew everything. So my mother had dandruff sometimes, and she would ask me to scratch her head. And that was the worst thing to do, scratch her head. And we would sit in front of the buffet, and the buffet had a mirror. I know this now. And I would be scratching her head and complaining, and she would say, "Boy, are you saying something?" And she'd get all this stuff. And you know, if she asked me a question, I would lie, and she could look in the mirror and say that. And she'd say, "You lying?" and stuff like that. When I was young, I really didn't have a lot of wisdom. And Mama knew everything. Mama asked me, "Did you smoke?" And I said, "Of course." And she looked in the sock drawer and found the cigarettes. Now, why would she look in the sock drawer and find the cigarettes? Because she puts up the socks. I'm hiding stuff in the sock drawer where she puts up the sock. Mama knew everything. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. And stuff. Wow. Wisdom. Do you have wisdom? Do you have the kind of wisdom, the God-centered wisdom, the wisdom that comes from God? Solomon, that dude, at a young age, became the king of Israel. I'm thinking this is quite a few people. Kingdom of Israel and stuff. After David, his father. Y'all know Dave? Lion killing, bear killing, Goliath killing David. Huh? Ducking Saul and the spears and stuff like that. David and stuff. Out there on the balcony, David. Sending Uriah to the front of the line, David. Murderer, David. Bad father, David. Bad husband, David. Y'all know David. Well, that's David's son. From his beloved Bathsheba. And he really didn't get to the throne easily. Because he had a big brother who thought that he should be king, who was going around trying to kill each other. And David, the king, his father said, "Please don't kill my son." Well, your son's trying to kill you, but you don't want to kill your son. Dysfunctional family. My goodness. But God saw fit for Solomon to excel and become the king. And with that came a whole lot of responsibility for a young man. Any managers or supervisors in here? Y'all ashamed or what? We're not going to have a meeting or anything like that. I don't need a payroll. I'm not going to ask you for a raise. Anybody ever managed any people? Okay. There you go. Don't be scared. They're not here. Don't be scared and stuff. That's a whole lot of responsibility, won't you say? Because you think, you know, the description of the job is here, but the people are there, and you got to deal with them. So God asked Solomon, "Dude, what can I get for you? You can have anything you want." And Solomon says, "The fastest, the newest chariot. Now, I want the prettiest queen that you could give me. No, I want a big castle. No, I want my IRA to be thick. I want to be king and be able to support my family. No, I want a PhD. No, I want good health. No, I want these 20 pounds to melt away right now in front of all these people so God will know that you're real." And God said, "Go take a walk." Okay. No, he said, "I'd like wisdom." It's kind of strange for a young man to be asking for wisdom. When his whole life is in front of him, he can make a whole lot of mistakes and he can, you know, just learn on the job and things like that. He said, "No." And God said this. He said, "You have answered well." And he gave him wisdom. Wisdom beyond anything that we can even imagine. And I don't know what you can imagine today. We're talking about back then, the Bible days and stuff, where they didn't have Google. He couldn't Google it. Tribes were acting up. He couldn't give them a TED talk. He couldn't send them to rehab. He couldn't do any of these things. He just had to ask God. And God was his source of wisdom. I want you to write this down, because I figured out in my simpleness, this is a great theological treaty. Write down knowledge. You wonder what you could do with your bulletin. Okay, write it down. Knowledge plus understanding divided by time equals wisdom. Knowledge plus understanding divided by time equals wisdom. Now look at that real close and think about all the stupid stuff you shouldn't have done. Or the person next to you shouldn't have done. Knowledge plus understanding divided by time equals wisdom. When you read the book of Ecclesiastes and you look at Solomon's life, he did a whole lot of wise stuff. And he did a whole lot of what we would call stupid stuff. He forgot who his source was. His source was God. That God who spoke to him and asked him, "What do you want?" And he said, "Wisdom." And he got wisdom. And that started working for him. So if somebody came up to you today, two women, and said, "This is my baby." And another one said, "No, this is my baby." How would you decide whether it was your baby? Whose baby was? Huh? Dana. You'd call Dana. You tell him, "Sit down, and in an hour we'll know." And guess what? It would be settled and stuff. But Solomon, he said, "Okay, I don't have Google. I don't have Instagram. God, all I got is you. I'm looking at these women, and they pulling on this baby. What should I do?" And God gave him the answer. How many times in our life are we searching for God to give us the answer to our current dilemma? How many times do we not hear him say this, the answer? "I'm with you." You might not like that answer. "I'm with you. Even in this, you'll get through this because of what Jesus has done in your life." Might not be the way that you want to get through this, but you will get through this. You got enough knowledge. You might not understand. You might not even like the fact that it's going to take time. But when you get through this, you will have wisdom. Now, wisdom is good. In fact, you won't believe this. Some people call me wise. Yeah. And actually, that's just how I feel when somebody says that you're wise. Really? If you would come behind the curtain and see what's going on, you would not call me wise. But I don't believe that God uses the wise. He makes people wise through their experience with him and through them giving him the glory and the honor and the opportunity to move in their lives. Wisdom, the ability to take what you know and use it at the appropriate time. Did you hear me? Appropriate time. Because some of us are wise and we just don't care about time. Let me tell you how I feel. I don't care how you feel. I'm going to say this and I don't care. You just going to have to deal with it. I'm going to say it anyway. And let the chips fall where they Let me see. I need to do an age thing. I'm going to do it again. Let the chips fall where they... Okay, all right. I thought that's who was here. Okay. You know, when we say these adages and stuff, before we leave today, anybody under 35, raise your hand. I hate you. I mean, let's see. Do it again. Do it again. I got to look. Under 35. I want you to tell us something, and no curse words, okay? That somebody has told you that's an old saying at 35, an old saying, that you have found to be true because it is wisdom. Okay? That's your test. And after that, you can have a peach, okay? All right? I brought you peaches. All right? Think about that. Something that somebody has said to you that made sense. It was wise. Let me give you an example. Don't poke a hole in the boat that you're in. Did anybody understand that? Wave your hand if you understood that, because if not, we got to start in the beginning, because I got work to do. Don't poke a hole in the boat that you're in. That's wisdom, isn't it? Okay, all right. Let's see. If you dig one ditch, you better dig. If you dig one ditch, you better dig. Okay. Wow, this is another planet. Did the old folks in your life ever talk to you? Did y'all just run away from grandma if she didn't have any cookies or anything like that? All right, this one is going to be deep, okay? Don't let your mouth write a check that your blank can't cash. Thank you, Melinda. Melinda, too. Did you all hear that? Don't let your mouth write a check that your butt can't cash. Y'all got it? You got a visual? Okay. Y'all never been in a fight, have you? So, wisdom, knowledge, plus understanding. Understanding is when you can stand under something. Knowledge is the gathering of what you know. Know for sure. Time could be your time or God's time. I like my time better. Because sometimes God doesn't show up when I want him to show up. But he's always on time. Did you all get that? He may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. And because I know those three variables, I can be wise about my decisions. I don't know about you, but in this age, we can kind of find everything and anything just with the devices in our pocket or computers that we have and stuff. But how many of us will search the scriptures to find out what God says about the matter? Because therein you find wisdom. You might not like it, but you find wisdom. And in James, it tells us, if anyone lacks, let him. Wow. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask. And what is the most strenuous, embarrassing thing to do for a human being that you know? I'm not talking about you, because I know you got this covered. If you don't know something, you should. But how many times do we? I will give you an example to make up for the 1,000 women. If you're in the car with a man and you've been driving 2 days, will you ask him, Do you know where you are going? Do you even dare to ask? I got this. I'm going to the same place you're going. Do you dare ask? God, thank you for GPS. When you listen to it, it's not that I'm in the car arguing with the computer in the car, because I would never do that. I would never do that. The hardest thing is to ask. And I believe in Christianity for us today, as believers in Jesus Christ, the hardest thing is to ask. But therein lies our wisdom. Because you might be in a place where you're struggling with something or somebody, and you have to ask God, you know, and I'll put this on me. If you're like me, you have to preface what you ask. God, I have done everything that I can do. I've served you as much as I can serve you. And I'm asking again, would you do so and so? Fill in the blank and stuff. When the Bible just says, just ask. Just ask. Just ask. Just be square with God. Just ask. God, I'm hurting. Just ask. God, I'm lonely. Just ask. God, the month is longer than my money. Just ask. God, if I go to the bank and they pull up a credit score, if I have one, it'll probably be in the minors. Just ask. God, I'm sick. And I don't know why I'm sick. I don't know why I'm healed yet. Just ask. And that scripture tells us in the New Testament that asking and seeking and knocking is a perpetual thing. That's the wisdom of God. Asking, seeking, and knocking is a perpetual thing. It's the wisdom of God. Until you see on this side of heaven, on the other side of heaven, what you ask for. So Solomon, in all his wisdom, now, all his life and all the things, the great things that he did, and he built the house of God. Whoa. David couldn't do it. God told Solomon to do it. He built the house of God. Isn't that Solomon over there at Starbucks? Yeah, you know Solomon who built the house of God. Yeah. How can you tell it's Solomon? Because he got all them women behind him. That's couldn't be nobody else. Okay. He built the house of God. All these things he did, and mansions and houses and stuff, and temples to idols. False gods. Heathens. Solomon, what happened to your knowledge? What happened to your understanding? What happened to the timing in your life? It should equal wisdom. But sometimes we don't search for that wisdom, and we forget about the God who gives us that wisdom. Have you forgot about the God who can, who will, who has? That's wisdom. That's wisdom. So for all you wise people who are in here, your wisdom comes from God. When somebody tells you, if somebody tells you, that, man, if I may, Robert, thank you for saying that because you are so wise. Shelley, thank you for saying that because you are so wise and stuff. Please don't get the big head and ask, how can I top this? But just tell them, it's only because of the wisdom of God that resides in me. This moment. Because if you hang around with me for another 10 seconds,
I'm going to do something stupid.
Listen, my prayer is that we all become so rooted in our relationship with God that in times like these, when there's no Solomon around, that you can be Solomon for somebody, because God's wisdom resides in you. One wise thing that Aunt Kat taught me, my 93-year-old aunt, is that, and I want you to tell me what this is at the end. If you get a raise, don't spend it. Put it in the bank and just save it. In fact, one of those adages from the old folks was, save some money for a rainy day. Oh, look at here, look at here. Don't spend the money. Just live on what you have. Live on what you have. This, and shh, this is before credit cards. It's back in the 19th century, I swear. Before credit cards. I know y'all don't know nothing about that, but there was a time on earth that there were no credit cards. And she said that. And it took me about 40 years to figure that out, but I started doing that, and it worked. And at the bank, they call it compound. Wow. You put your money in the bank, they give you a little money for having it in the bank, and all of a sudden, you got more money than you had. It's called compound. Okay, I told you that these young people, under 35, have to tell me at least a couple of things that old folks have said to you that you count as wisdom. And you can't curse in church. Is there one? Yes.
Don't look a gift horse in the mouth.
All right, girl. She's a teenager. If she beats all you millennials, okay. No, no. You don't know how hard it was for me not to say that. Because see, they, you know, I get comments and I get emails and Instagrams and Facebook and stuff and stuff. Say that one more time. All right. I see the kitchen table when my mama told me that. Okay. All right. And I didn't. Come on, 35 and under. Y'all ain't got nothing to say. Okay, all right then. Thank you, Morgan, Miss Morgan. Thank Father, we thank you for your grace, for your mercy, for your loving kindness in this place. Cause us to know who you are. Cause us to understand who you are. Cause us to respect time so we might have wisdom, and we'll be your vessels of wisdom wherever we are, so that we can be the example of Jesus Christ, speaking his words, trusting in him, believing in him. As we leave this place today, God, cause this word to be food to us, bread to us, water to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, men, who will help me move this stuff? All right. I'm going to get the keys to the van.